9:22. Valley Talk on News Talk 1580 KGAL.
Welcome to KGAL's Valley Talk. Jeff McMahon, happy to be here and happy to be sponsored today by our friends at Healthy Home Pest Control. Healthy Home Pest Control can remove those uninvited insects and rodents with an affordable, environmentally friendly approach to pest control. They've got over 20 years of industry experience, and they've had quite a bit of experience out here helping us, and they've always done a great job here at KGAL and K-Show. Healthy Home Pest Control for your home or your business, 541-570-0095. That's 541-570-0095. All right, it's time to move into the first portion of the program, and I'm really glad to get to know, and for you to get to know, Kristen Bertelson, the president of Queen Bee Organizing, a certified professional organizer. She's joining us for this portion of the program. Good morning, Kristen.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Certainly. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from originally, first off?
I actually grew up in Maryland till about high school and then moved to Corvallis. So I'm a East Coast transplant, but I've lived on the West Coast much longer now.
Yeah, so tell me why you moved originally from Maryland over to here.
My parents didn't want us to be too complacent. I have three younger sisters, and they figured a change of scenery would be good. Also, the pollution is a lot less here than in Maryland. And
sure.
It was healthier for everyone.
So tell me about your personal reaction moving from there to here. What was it like at first, and then how was it adjusting to a different sort of pace of life in a different place?
Yeah, well, I learned that soda and pop are the same thing.
Yes.
And that I learned that if it's like, you know, an inch of snow, it's considered cold and not 2 feet of snow. And, yeah, it was interesting, definitely, as a teenager. I of course, tried to convince my parents to wait 4 more years until I graduated college or high school, and they're like, nope, not doing it. So I think now looking back, I'm really glad they did. None of my sisters have ever been scared to move. We all love to travel. So I think, you know, what they were going for, they achieved, which is good.
Excellent. So where did you end up going to high school out here?
Crescent Valley.
You were a Crescent Valley Raider.
I was. And I went to OSU and have an interior design degree, and yeah, so I like it here. It's, you know, it's very family oriented. It's very calm. It's, you know, I like the summers, of course, not so much the rain. I actually do prefer snow over rain. So
you have an interesting business that you're running now. With the degree that you have, one might have thought you would have been an interior decorator, that sort of thing. Did you ever do that type of work before becoming a professional organizer?
On a very small scale, when I graduated college, it was 2008, and there wasn't a lot of decorators being hired. I worked as a furniture design manager, so I was able to help, make a furniture store look nice with the furniture that they bought, and was able to kind of design that way. But I never really used my degree as far as, you know, AutoCAD and stuff, but I get to use it now with Queen Bee Organizing a bit, because I am able to, for some of my clients, we're able to look at like floor plans and stuff that they do and are getting done for remodels, and I'm able to give them suggestions on how an organized space would look in that floor plan and whether it would work for them. So I still use it occasionally.
That's Kristen Bertelson. Kristen is the president of Queen Bee Organizing, and she's with us here on Valley Talk today to talk about her business and what she does. How could it be helpful to you, even in the situation we're in right now that we're all working through? But let's just pretend life is normal right now. Everyday, normal life. What is Queen Bee Organizing, and what do you do normally?
So Queen Bee Organizing basically just wants to help people with their spaces. A majority of our clients are residential organizing. They have a garage that they can't get under control. They have kids' rooms that, you know, they've tried to get the kids organized, and having a third party come in help. Or a kitchen that never really, you know, made sense when they unpacked it. And that's the majority. We also do a lot of packing and unpacking and move day management. So we're able to help people not bring things to their new homes that they no longer find necessary.
Mm.
And then on the non-organizing side, which, I mean, it's still organizing in general, but we run estate sales. So after someone's moved or passed away, we're able to come in and help them sell all the items that are left in the house.
And you guys do some work that, well, a lot of us don't enjoy doing ourselves at all. So having somebody come and help with the stuff you're describing sounds fantastic, Kristen. Yeah, so
yeah, I employ a lot of people that all love the things that most people don't. They love to, you know, play Tetris and fit things together in a usable and functional way. So.
Yeah, that's an interesting analogy, Tetris. Yeah, that's a lot of what it's about, isn't it? Using a space optimally.
Well, and it also, you know, we get a lot of calls of like, you know, we don't want to be judged. We don't want you to throw everything out. You know, I don't want to look like Martha Stewart. And so I think what most people need to realize is that organizing, like our company is really big on organizing for people in their spaces, how they use them. You know, what are your goals and how do we get you there? Because we're not going to use a labeler if you're never going to use a labeler yourself. And we're not going to make everything fit in there so it has to go back exactly the right way if you're not going to do it that way. And like my crafting clients, when we organize and they get rid of a lot of stuff, I always give them a bin of room to grow. And they're like, oh, no, I'm never going to buy anything else again. I'm like, that's not actually probably accurate.
Yeah.
So you're a crafter. You're going to buy more. So, you know, I mean, really understanding what people need in their space and what they really enjoy and how to get them there is really our priorities.
Boy, it kind of sounds like part of your job is understanding human behavior.
Of course, yes. We and not just human behavior, but like the household dynamics. Are you tall? Are you short? Are you left-handed? Are you right-handed? Who does the cooking? You know, so where should we put most of the items? Who puts away the dishes? If the kids put away the dishes, you don't want them on a shelf. You want them in a drawer down below, depending on obviously the ages of the kids. So just really understanding how the household functions is also very important.
Outstanding. Okay, so that's what Queen Bee Organizing is all about in a nutshell. So let's find out what it's been like for you since the stay-at-home order was declared by the governor and things have changed so much with the coronavirus outbreak. What's it like for your business now? Can you still do business the same way or is it different?
Well, it definitely is different, but we are still trying to put the word out that we can help you in your space. So we started doing some of our clients and new clients actually with virtual organizing, where we'll have a 1 to 2 hour session and we'll see the space and we'll talk through different goals. And you can choose whether to do those, like basically assignments on your own between sessions, or if you want us there to help you through the assignment. So you could take like a home office, for instance, and we could talk about what a shelf should be used for, how to file the papers, where to, you know, which drawer would be the best for whatever subject of papers we're talking about. Whether we should remove a cabinet, switch over supplies, any of those things. And then you can say, okay, I want to do this with you on the phone or on Zoom is what we're using, or I'm going to do this and let's schedule a call for next week. And basically you have an accountability partner now to make sure you're getting it done effectively and efficiently.
Mm.
So that's one way. And the other way is, like yesterday we had a perfect client for this situation we're in. They wanted to keep everything in their shop, but they really wanted it organized. So they stayed inside, and myself and another employee were able to go work with social distancing, of course. And then if we didn't know what something was or weren't sure where to, if they really wanted it, then we were able to text them a picture, and they were able to answer and text us a response, and we organized the whole shop. And I think we were there for 7.5 hours yesterday. And it was great. You know, we only took out what was really absolutely trash and we kept everything else. So it was a perfect job to do now.
Oh, that sounds like
a
great
deal. Yeah, it was really fun. And we saw the accomplice and we texted them pictures along the way. And then after we left, they texted us back and said how happy they were and that they really liked where everything was. And then we also have a couple employees that are still helping people pack for moving. I know that a lot of people are put moving on hold, but we do have some folks that are going into like assisted living and places where they can't wait because they're no longer able to take care of themselves by themselves at home. And so we are still doing that. But same thing, way different. You know, you're not in the room with us. We're moving things out of the room, putting them on a table, wearing gloves, wearing masks. And then you're tagging the ones that you want us to pack. Then you go to a different space. We come back out. We pack up the ones you want and move the other ones into a not keeper box for an estate sale later. So definitely really different, but still able to find ways to be, you know, responsible and still get the job done.
The thought just crossed my mind, my friend, that if anybody is going to be able to handle the organization that it takes to still safely do this type of work in a home, in person, it's going to be somebody like you who is a certified professional organizer. And the way you've described it, it makes perfect sense that you can actually still do your job fully and completely, really just with a couple little extra details to keep the, you know, the safe social distancing operations going. Other than that, you can pretty much do what you normally do.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely isn't as fun as when you're there and you're excited in the same room, but, you know, the goal is to still keep you organized in your space, especially now when a lot of folks have, you know, kids home, spouses home, or your home yourself where you used to not be. And, you know, your space is just getting overrun with so many hands and touching so many things every day. It just, the way that you're living is just different. And so if we can help people, even with just a phone call to say, yeah, you should do this, this, and this, we want to be there for them.
Very good. So you can help homes or businesses. So tell me about business organizing just a little bit here, and then we'll jump into some other topics. But I'm curious how you come into a business and help them out.
So there's all sorts of ways because every business is different. A lot of it is looking for where time is being wasted, whether that's with filing, whether that's with management, and like the, you know, trickle down of what's coming from headquarters and if it's making sense down to, you know, what's actually at the office. Whether that's email flow or paper flow. We do some warehouse inventory, helping people like organize their warehouses and, you know, categorize it a little bit better so they don't have lost items. And then a lot of it, like we work with a lot of OSU staff in, you know, offices where they're just inundated with to-dos and papers and people interrupting them. So having them have like more of a flow management to their daily work is nice. During this time, we've actually put out there that if any business has had to have their folks work from home, that we'd be more than happy to schedule like a Zoom call with their company and give them an hour of Q&A for their employees to be able to ask questions about how do I, you know, organize my desk at home and how do I still accomplish this task. And say that you're a business that's had to, you know, temporarily off your employees because you can't work from home. Then we're happy to talk about, you know, how to organize photos or how to organize a kitchen or something that gives your employees just something to maybe to focus on during this time. So
that sounds fantastic. This is so cool what you guys do. I know that I've often thought about the possibility of doing this sort of thing. And here's the situation in our home, and then you can tell me how you would deal with this. I'm a person who, when I'm done using something or no longer need something, I'll give it away to someone else who might need it or want it. It doesn't really matter what it is. If I'm not using it anymore, then I see no reason to just hang on to it. So I just gift it to somebody. You know, say, if you could use this, would you like it? I don't use it anymore, but it still works great, et cetera, et cetera. And my wife is just as generous, but she doesn't have, how do I put this? She likes to collect things much more than me. Let's put it that way. And so, for example, we sure could have used, and I wished I would have thought of you prior to our packing up to move. We sold our home recently, and we're currently living in a temporary location while our new home is being built, prepared, and it's almost done, and we'll be moving in pretty soon. But the process of getting rid of the stuff that we had collected for 21 years in the home that we had owned for that long, preparing to move, it was an incredibly arduous process, let's put it that way. And bless my wife's heart, she did her very best to get rid of stuff. But as we're getting ready now to move into this new place, we're thinking, we still may have too much stuff for this smaller space that we're going to be living in probably for the rest of our lives. And so how would you approach a household with two different people such as ourselves? My wife is more of a collector and I am not. And what do you do when you come in and just use us as guinea pigs here?
Sure. Well, the first thing is that whoever is the keeper of a family, let's say, they're the ones that really get to make most of the decisions because they're the ones that's going to affect more.
Makes sense.
Now, not saying that your wife has a lot of emotions around it, but there are many times where the keeper of the family has a lot of emotional attachment to it. So, you know, while the non-keeper is saying, just get rid of it, it doesn't mean anything, the keeper might take that as an offense to themselves.
Sure.
So we want to be really careful and realize that the person that actually wants to keep the items is having the final say without any pressure. But we do talk through, when's the soonest they might use it, when's the last time they did use it, can they find it again somewhere else, like just the same way you gift your items to other people. So, we use a turkey roaster a lot as an example. A lot of people own a turkey roaster. They use it on Thanksgiving once a year. Could they borrow one that one time a year? Could they go buy a temporary one? Could they buy one from, a secondhand store and then gift it back to the secondhand store so they're not keeping such a large item on hand for once a year? So we talk through those kind of scenarios to see really what's the most important. And then I guess the other thing is when moving, we also talk about what size space you're moving from and what size your space you're moving into. It doesn't necessarily correlate, but say you're going from, 4,000 square feet into 2,000, mm-hmm. you only can take half your items. So, and like I said, it doesn't always correlate, because the space might be laid out differently and so on. But when you're going through your bookshelf, you could have a box to donate and a box to keep. And once the keep box is full, you have to fill the donate box before you get another keep box, for instance.
Hmm.
So kind of trying to, make it into more of a numbers game helps keep some of the feelings out of it.
Boy, that's a great approach. And you've been doing this now for what, over 10 years, I think, right?
It'll be 10 years this summer.
Oh, coming up this summer, okay.
Yeah, 10 years in May. So we're right around the corner, which is exciting. It started as just myself, and now we run a team right now of about 16 people. So,
for those that just tuned in, we are talking with Kristen Bertelson, who is the president of Queen Bee Organizing. You may have heard her on KGAL's Real Estate Talk with Dave Pouch. She's been a guest with Dave before, and that's where I first heard her and heard about what she does. She serves a very large area, certainly our entire listening audience area, I would think, at least for the most part anyway. Give us a sort of a scope of how far away you guys go.
Sure. So we do a lot of our business in Corvallis, Philomath, Albany, Lebanon. We actually have an employee that lives in Lebanon, but we will go as far as Salem. We actually have an employee that lives in Eugene, so she works down there full-time. And then we go out to Sweet Home, we go out to Newport. So we basically say we'll travel the Willamette Valley and help whoever needs.
And for those that just tuned in, tell us about Queen Bee Organizing in a general sense, what you guys do and what services you provide. So those that just turned the radio on get the full picture everybody else got.
So basically, we will organize any space, whether that's a garage, a kitchen, a closet, a bathroom, a kid's room, an office, whether that's at home or at work. We help people pack and move and unpack, and we also run estate sales. So anything you can think of with organizing, we've done everything big and small. We've worked with a home we can't get into the front door, and we've worked with someone with just a 2-foot stack of papers that just didn't know what to do with it. So.
Wow, so that small of a job to that big of a job. When you say when you couldn't get in the front door, you must be dealing with, I know this is maybe a ugly term, but it's a term everybody recognizes, with someone who might be known as a hoarder. You guys help people like that?
We say, someone with hoarding tendencies is how we kind of put it. But yes, we do. We've actually, I and some of our team have also been on a couple of the TLC's hoarding.
I wondered if you'd been on that show before.
Yeah, there also was an A&E hoarders, and so somewhere in the back of I think 4 or 5 of them, you'll see my head occasionally. You don't get a lot of airtime as an organizer, but we're on there.
Wow. So talk about, if you could, just for a moment. We've got probably about 6-7 more minutes we could chat together before we run out of time. About one of those big jobs like that, what's that like?
Well, so I always say that the largest job that we've ever did was not actually, you know, one that was on television. And it really depends on if the person is still alive or not, which is kind of depressing to talk about. But
sure.
If it's a family member that's clearing out the house, it is a lot easier in some ways because the person doesn't have to be letting go of all their stuff. If someone's still living and you know, wanting it for themselves, it's more rewarding in the fact of, like, you're making a change for someone's life that will still be able to live in their home afterwards. And we've done both. So it's not always, like, the prettiest job. A lot of times they're pretty filthy. But
Yeah. The
reward that you get from helping someone in a situation that, you know, basically they're either going to lose their house or they're going to lose their family or whatever is making them decide to make a change, is really rewarding when they get to actually, like, be there and you see the change within them, too. I mean, it's an obvious change of personality and happiness level and all of it. They get really excited when they start seeing their space again because they want the change. Now, if someone doesn't want it, we don't come in.
Yes, right. You're there not so much to come in and boss people around, but you're there to try to help them, and that's the approach you're taking.
Yeah, we really want to be there as a support system for them to help teach them how to make decisions and how to say, you know, yes to something and why you're saying yes to something, where it's a keep versus why you're saying no, and not just, you know, blanket yeses, basically. We're never there to judge, and we're never there to tell you what to do. We are there to help you be a sounding board and give you ideas. And then obviously carry out and execute the job itself.
So Queen Bee Organizing can help you, whether your residential situation or whether it's your business, with getting organized, with packing and unpacking, senior citizens issues, estate sales, business organizing. Interior design is also something that they can do. In fact, that's the degree that Kristen got at OSU, she described to us earlier. So it's pretty impressive, the scope of things that they can help you handle. And as she described earlier, they can even do their regular business in a very safe way with good social distancing and everything safe and secure on site, in person. But they can do it virtually, too, using Zoom video conferencing as well. So a lot of options here for you. Their website is queenbeeorganizing.com, and it's just the letter B, not B-E-E like you'd spell the insect, but just the letter B, queenbeeorganizing.com. You should check that out there. And we've got about 2 minutes, my friend. I'll kind of let you finish up our chat in whatever way you would like to.
Well, I guess I would just put out there to anyone listening, if there's a question that you have, I know everybody right now is, you know, a lot of people are not working and, you know, finances are tough. So if there's a question you have, feel free to reach out. Just tell me the situation. Like I said, our virtual organizing, we've discounted to almost half of our usual rate because we want to be there as the sounding board for everybody. We want people to feel comfortable in their home during this time and not feel depressed with their surroundings. So reach out, ask us a question. Even if you don't need us now, feel free to, you know, turn to us later once we're all allowed to touch your stuff and be right in the same room with you again.
So here's the ways you can contact Kristen and Queen Bee Organizing. You can call 541-231-6964. That's 541-231-6964. You can send her an email at getorganized@queenbeeorganizing.com. And again, that's Queen Bee with just the letter B. queenbeeorganizing.com. Get organized at queenbeeorganizing.com. That's the email address. And the website, queenbeeorganizing.com. Kristen, thanks for your time. Wish you the best. And who knows, I may be getting a hold of you sometime here soon.
Well, I really appreciate you having me on, and I hope everyone has a wonderful day.
Healthy Home Pest Control wants you to know that if your home or business could talk, it may tell you it's not feeling well due to uninvited visitors like ants, wasps, spiders, roaches, rodents, and others lurking in and around your home or business. With over 20 years of industry experience, Healthy Home Pest Control can remove those uninvited insects with an affordable, safe, and effective method of treatment. Call Healthy Home Pest Control now, 541-570-0095. Then your home or business will say, I'm feeling great. today.
Lebanon shopping, it just makes sense.
Need tires? Hi, this is Shane from Canega Point S Tire and Auto. From lawnmowers to tractors, cars, trucks, and semis, we have your tire. And Canega's ASE certified mechanics can help you with full auto repair. We even have propane for your barbecue and RV. Canega Point S Tire and Auto, still at the Y in Lebanon.
Looking for a specific business or service in Lebanon? Call or come by the Lebanon Chamber of Commerce and Visitor Center. We'll put you in touch with the business you need for any situation. 1040 South Park Street across from Canega Tire in Lebanon.
Willamette Community Bank is proud to partner with businesses and families in Lebanon to reach their financial goals. Join us in building our community by shopping and banking local in Lebanon at the corner of Main and Milton or online at willamettecommunitybank.com. Bank local, shop local. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Lebanon shopping, it just makes sense.
Just a few reasons why Jacopetti's is the caterer you'll want for your next big event. Cost. Not only are they reasonable, but Debbie works with your budget to design the perfect menu to please even the most discriminating guest. Choice. Jacopetti's offers many different menu options, casual to formal. Service. Set up and serving if you desire, so you don't have to worry about anything except what you're going to wear. For your next event, big or small, let Jacopetti's make you the successful hostess.
Call 541-926-9660.
Track your credit card points day by day. This is Soundbites and I'm Jan Ziff. What's the point? They're your points. Points that mean miles. Points that mean cashback. Points that mean you'd better keep careful track of the points you've got, the points you use, and the points you get. How better to do that than with card pointers? Card pointers for iPhone and iPad and Apple Watch. You'll use it every day, you'll use it every transaction to maximize the points you get wherever you use a credit card. Card Pointers tracks over 3,000 different cards, very likely including the ones you carry right now. You'll see which cards will give you the most points for every purchase, and before you know it, you'll have so many points, you'll know exactly what you want to do with them. And Card Pointers will help you do that. GetCardPointers.com. With Soundbites, I'm Jan Ziff. For CBS News.
Being in the Army National Guard is about more than just serving your country. It's about being there for your community when your neighbors need you most. The Army National Guard makes college affordable. Serving part-time lets you attend school full-time while you take advantage of education benefits that can help you graduate debt-free. If a civilian career is your goal, serving part-time allows you to work at a full-time job. The skills, qualities, and contacts you'll develop in the Guard can open doors to a great civilian career. Want to serve, but worried about being away from friends and family? Part-time service in the Army National Guard allows you to serve close to home. Serving in the Army National Guard lets you have the life you want while you enjoy the many benefits of serving your community and nation. You owe it to yourself to learn more about how the Army National Guard can fit into your life. Visit NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Oregon Army National Guard, aired by the Oregon Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Need a home? Then listen to Real Estate Talk with Dave Pouch, Saturday mornings on Smart Talk 1580.
Our guests are from Willamette Valley Rehabilitation Center. We have the Community Integration Coordinator and the Coordinator's Assistant, both with us today. The Coordinator is Cherie Speaks and the assistant Ann Trevino, and they're both here on Valley Talk. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you. It's nice to be here. Thank you for inviting us.
I had heard of Willamette Valley Rehabilitation Center, and so I went to your website, wvrc.org, mm-hmm. and looked around, and oh, yeah, that's right. And there's a neat video on there. Is it okay with you if we air some of that video?
Absolutely.
Will that be all right? This may give people a picture of what it is that you guys are doing all the time there at WVRC, Willamette Valley Rehabilitation Center.
We started in 1958. We are the oldest sheltered workshop and vocational program in the state of Oregon.
When I started working here 35 years ago, we worked in the dance hall out on Highway 20, employed maybe 20 or 30 people, and now we've got a new facility, and we employ over 100 folks.
We've grown to the point that we now have a person employed by Willamette Valley Rehab Center with disabilities, working basically 24/7.
The people portion is the fixed part of the equation, and so you work on all the other variables to ensure the jobs, and it keeps the mission in front of you when you keep focused on that aspect of it.
The people that work here are just like everybody else. They're great, they have a good sense of humor, they work very well with each other, and they're very tolerant.
They really help us help them. We ask them, what do you need? What would you like?
If you're very nicely here, they're very, very nice. They're nice people to work with.
Our three main areas of business activity include custodial and grounds maintenance, our contract services department, production, which basically works with wood products, and then our bench and assembly area.
We produced over 100,000 cleaning tools last year. That equals out to about 450 a day. That provides a lot of employment and a lot of jobs.
You can check this video out at the website wvrc.org. It goes on for another few minutes with wonderful examples of how Willamette Valley Rehabilitation Center is doing their good work. And they're located just east of Lebanon.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you ladies, we have Ann Trevino and Cherie Speaks with us. You were talking about that this is talking about the beginning, that things have transitioned and expanded and changed. So begin to explain what it is that Willamette Valley Rehabilitation Center is all about right now today as we speak.
Well, WVRC has always been founded on employing people with disabilities, and that was originally why the facility opened up. And we're still working on employing people with disabilities, but it looks a little bit different. So we're expanding our services out into the community in terms of employment. And we still do some of the same services there, like making products, but we are really inviting other business owners to collaborate with us to create jobs for people.
Very good.
And the reason we need to create those jobs for people in the community is because sometime this year, due to some legislation from state and federal, we're going to have to close that sheltered workshop as far as hiring and paying paychecks to the people with disabilities that have been working there for years.
Really? So you'll no longer be able to employ them? It's because of some kind of legislation?
Mm-hmm. Right. It is. Yeah. It's a very long and detailed explanation that started with a lawsuit in the state of Georgia and then has progressed to all states in the United States, and it was based on ADA's principles of fair treatment for people with disabilities.
I see.
Which is a good thing. However, we have a differing opinion of, you know, how they could have investigated a little bit more. However, I'm not going to go into that because that's political and I don't do that.
Right.
But the end goal for us is to put people to work in the community who have a desire to work in the community. And they've got skills that they've been trained for at WVRC. We're also working with them to create job profiles, applications, master applications, resumes, so that they go out into the community prepared. We do interviews with them. We get these job seekers ready to work and ready to present themselves to work. And so it's been a challenging process, but it's also been the most rewarding process because you see the smiles on their faces when they get to go out in the community.
The people that you're preparing to go out into the workforce, what kind of opportunities are out there for them? What kind of work are they generally finding, and what are you preparing them for?
There's a variety.
Yeah, a lot of jobs that we are looking at are entry-level jobs or maybe jobs that are in accordance with some of the skills that they already have or experience.
Right.
A lot of times what we do is we team up with businesses and we try to go in and find what there's a need for,
mm-hmm.
and see how we can match that with a person's skills. And usually we'll look for tasks that maybe some of the other employees are too busy for, but things that still need done, and some of the things that our folks that we work with can do. So it takes a lot of creativity, and it's really interesting.
So it was 1959, from what I see here, when this whole thing got started?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep.
Just a small group of people that had an interest in helping people with disabilities.
Yeah. Yep.
and it's been going ever since. And are you, is that the exact same organization then that started in 59, who you are now, and it was always just east of Lebanon and where you're located?
Well, it used to be on Highway 20 as you're going to Sweet Home, and they had a smaller wood shop. And I believe it was
70s.
Yeah.
When the new building was built.
Yeah, they opened up the new building, and they remodeled it and expanded it, and now the wood shop is way bigger than it used to be, and we were able to provide a lot more services with the opening of the new building.
Willamette Valley Rehabilitation Center is our topic in the first half of Valley Talk today. Our guests, Cherise Speaks, the Community Integration Coordinator with Willamette Valley Rehabilitation Center, and the assistant is also with us here today, Ann Trevino. And I wondered, just specifically with each of you, how you got involved in WVRC. What led you to where you are today?
That is a really good question. Originally, I started with just getting a tour. I was looking for a part-time summer job while I was going to school at U of O. And I got a call from Jim and got a tour. And there was Jim Branson, sorry, the deputy director.
Sure.
And anybody can go in for a tour as long as they call and arrange it. So it was a great time to kind of learn what WVRC was about. And I was interested, and so I stuck with it and worked with the clients there. And then after I graduated, there was a job opening for a community integration coordinator, and it was the perfect time for me, and it was the perfect time for WVRC to start on those services. So.
Well, that worked out well.
It did, yeah.
It was kind of like it was meant to be, wasn't it?
It was. The job found me, I like to say. Yeah.
That's terrific.
And then fast forward two years after Cherie's been struggling out there by herself taking care of business, and I was in retirement and looking for something that would be rewarding, fulfilling, that actually served a purpose and really helped people.
It's a nice thing about being in retirement and kind of having choices, or you can make your own decision of what you'd really like to do.
Yeah, and I make the joke that I clawed my way into WVRC.
So, we wanted you there, Ann. It's okay.
So they weren't coming after you, Ann. You pushed your way in there.
No, I was pushy.
Well, she was invited. Yeah,
I can tell now that they're glad that you're there.
And it has been the most rewarding, most challenging and most rewarding, I don't want to call it a job because it's a life, that I've ever had. I've enjoyed this more than I can tell you. I enjoy my workmates, they're fantastic, and I enjoy the clients. You just can't imagine how wonderful it is to come to work in the morning, and the first thing you're greeted with is hugs and fist bumps and high fives and how is your day?
So you're surrounded by people
surrounded by love. Yes, yeah. Surrounded by the people we're trying to help.
That's great. So, okay, with this legislation, you've got changes coming. And you were talking before we went on the air about potential goals for the year. Would you share those with us? What do you hope to accomplish over this next year?
We've kind of set a goal of placing 7 employees in the community in jobs. And we're stepping toward that quickly. We have 1.5 placements right now. It's just the end of January, 1st of February.
That's interesting. This half interests me. How does that work? That's
it's
like
a work
having
in progress.
one and a half children.
It's a work in progress. Because we have a client who is placed as a volunteer right now. That's a volunteer work assignment to assess his skills and see if he's right for the job that we want him to take at this particular location. So we call that a half placement because he's volunteering at this place with the potential of employment very soon. And then Cherie has a client that's working at McDonald's in Sweet Home. The YMCA is where my client is volunteering right now. Mm-hmm. And we have other potential placements. But we do need opportunities from the community. We really need their help to let us come in and do a work assessment, an environmental assessment is what we call it. It doesn't cost them anything. It doesn't cost them anything other than a part-time wage to put that employee on, and the employee comes with a job coach for while they're at the job to help them learn their job at no cost to the employer. So
the employer is assured that the employee is going to be brought up to speed and going to be guided in the beginning to be sure they're able to successfully attain the tasks that are required.
Correct.
In the job. So I'm certain, absolutely certain, that what many of these employers find is that they get some of their very best, most faithful, dependable employees from Willamette Valley Rehabilitation Center.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. Yeah. Because they are so devoted to their employers when they get that job.
Right, and the job means so much to them.
It means mm-hmm. the world to them.
Which is not the case for all employees.
No, it's not.
Yeah, they're just like, yeah, whatever, you know, it's a job. And
it's a paycheck.
It's a paycheck, yeah.
It means something different to some of the people we work with.
Yeah.
It does.
Something more.
It's exactly the type of employees many employers are looking for. Mm-hmm. So it could be some people listening who could employ people who hadn't thought of this route.
Right.
And so we'll bring it up again at the end of our talk in about 7-8 minutes. But since they're listening now and they're wondering, how do they connect with you and potentially set up a relationship where you could provide them an employee or two?
The best way is to contact us or come in and come visit WVRC. You can contact us at 541-258-8121. Or you could email me at Sheree@WVRC.org.
Spell Sheree.
S-H-E-R-E-E. It gets misspelled a lot, so I'm glad that you asked.
Yeah. I spelled it with about four E's to make sure I said it correctly. Sheree.
But there you go.
At WVRC.com?
.org.
.org. That's okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we'll repeat that for everybody here. That is Sheree, S-H-E-R-E-E, at WVRC.org.
That's right.
That's the email. And the phone number again, 541-258-8121. That one's got a nice ring to it. That's pretty easy. Mm-hmm. So very good. All right. So now I'm dying to hear some success stories, some people that have been successfully placed and they're doing well. And tell us all about it.
Well, we had an individual that was hired on at McDonald's in Sweet Home. And he is in a maintenance position, and he's doing a lot of the cleaning and getting things ready at the store before they open and business starts getting going.
It's important work.
It is, yeah, and it's hard work, and he does a great job at it. I went in and I've talked to the managers, and they're very happy with his performance. They have no complaints, which I'm glad to hear, and his coworkers really enjoy having him there, and they have nothing but good things to say. And he was really excited about the job, and he's still liking it, and we're working on making sure that everything is going according to his job and making sure that he's going to be successful in the long run.
Excellent. That's outstanding.
Yeah, and our volunteer placement at this point is a gentleman who's been with the center for quite a long time. And he worked in the wood shop, and then he went to the bench where he's doing stick production, one of our best producers. He's actually one of the top producers in the sticks. And he used to weigh 400 pounds.
Wow, that's a big guy.
He was a big guy, but he set a personal goal to lose that weight. And now he's lost 250 pounds.
Oh, my goodness.
Did it himself. Mm-hmm. I'm so proud of him. By walking, watching what he eats, watching calories, etc. And so his goal was to be physically fit. And so when I started looking for places for him to volunteer and to work, I thought of fitness places in Albany. And I hit the YMCA a couple of times, and I was like, this is perfect. This is absolutely perfect. Took a tour. And then met with a couple of key people over there, and we talked about some tasks.
Was Jim Oslison one of them?
Or? Yes, he was.
Yeah, he's a good man.
Great man.
Yeah.
And Tammy, the assistant, the associate director, and then Kevin, who is the facilities director. They've just been absolutely fantastic. And so we set up a meeting with them for our client, and we met with them, and we had practice interviews, you know, let's see, how are you going to, what are you going to do, what are you going to say, how are you going to sit, you know, what are you going to put, don't put your arms across your chest, you know,
right.
Be interested, smile. Well, I'll tell you what, if all of my employment candidates that I've seen over the years would have come in with his attitude and his personal appearance and his mannerisms, they'd all have a job right now. So he nailed it. He nailed the interview.
Nice.
And they gave him a tour of the facility, and he was so excited because he says, I can get in there and get training and get more physically fit.
Yeah.
It's the perfect placement.
So all we're waiting for now is them to call us back with a start date, and we're hoping that starts really soon.
So it looks like it's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
Yes,
it is going to happen. So.
Wonderful. Well, these kind of things have to keep you two ladies motivated.
Mm-hmm. They do.
Success stories like this, that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. They keep us very motivated.
That's very good.
Yeah. It's the little wins, you know.
For those that just tuned in to our talk here on Valley Talk today, explain again what Willamette Valley Rehabilitation Center is doing.
Right now, we are working on including people in the community to hire people with disabilities and kind of expand our services. And we like to think of it, our slogan, and refer back to it.
Creating opportunities for bigger, better, brighter futures.
Yeah. There you go. That's basically what we're doing is trying to
That's a pretty good assistant when she can read your thoughts and say
she
what
is.
You wanted to say.
We're on the same wavelength.
Yeah. Anyway, you were saying we were working to...
Yeah, we're working to, what Ann said, creating opportunities for a bigger, brighter, better future. We're working on things that WVRC has done in the past, in building skills for employees and working with adults with disabilities and expanding that out into the community to find jobs for people with disabilities.
Very good. Now the question comes, how can the community become involved, whether it be employers or just people that want to help out? What can they do and how do they do it?
The biggest thing is to think of people who are open to diversifying their workplace and maybe thinking of jobs where, you know, maybe other employees are too busy to get to, but somebody else could do. And just getting creative, or even if they just want to collaborate with us, inviting us in and figuring out ways to partner with us so that we can come in and brainstorm ways that we can make that work.
Outstanding. And the way that they would contact you would be with the coordinates you've already given us?
Yes,
there?
That's right.
Okay. So the phone number is 541-258-8121. That's 541-258-8121. And Cherie, her email is Cherie, S-H-E-R-E-E, at WVRC.org. That's Cherie at WVRC.org. So our guests have been Antrovino, Cherie's assistant, and the community integration coordinator, Cherie Speaks, from Willamette Valley Rehabilitation Center. Any last words that you'd like to be sure that we get out there?
No, it's just it doesn't cost anything to call us. We'll come out and do a little assessment, talk to you about the program, see how it can benefit you and your business, and we're happy to do that on your schedule.
So really, to see how you could potentially help out, it's just a phone call is all it's going to take.
Exactly.
Right.
And you guys will do the rest.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And our goal, our main goal is to make it a win-win for everybody that we work with, a win for our job seekers and a win for the businesses.
Outstanding. Cherie at WVRC.org or 541-258-8121. Ladies, thanks for your time. Appreciate
Thank you.
It.
Thank you, Jeff.
Welcome, neighbor. The Lebanon Chamber of Commerce is pleased to welcome every new Lebanon area resident with our new neighbor program. If you're new to Lebanon, we want to make sure you know all about what your community has to offer. Stop by the Lebanon Chamber of Commerce and Visitor Center and pick up your Lebanon New Neighbor tote bag filled with all kinds of great things just for you. 1040 Park Street, 9 to 5, Monday through Saturday. Welcome to Lebanon, the city that friendliness built.
Termites, ants, wasps, spiders. What's bugging you? Do you want a more environmentally responsible way to treat insects? The best way to protect your home is to get some help. Professional help. But who do you choose? The phone book is full of choices, and if you call them all, you'd get everything from an answering machine to a national call center in another state. So how do you protect your home from what's bugging you? Calmly pick up your phone and call Swanson's Pest Management. You'll be talking with experienced pest experts who will arrange a free inspection to determine the correct type of treatment needed. First, we'll attack the outside to prevent them from getting in. Next, we'll offer the most responsible treatment solutions, and we'll apply the treatment properly so there's no residue to be brought in by shoes or paws. We have a reputation for excellence in service. Call Swanson's Pest Management today for your free inspection, and we'll take care of the problem, no matter what's bugging you. Swanson's Pest Management. In Albany, call 967-7435. For Corvallis, 752-2427. CCB 79884.
Did you know your shopping decisions can make a difference in your community? It does with Points for Profit. When you shop locally with our businesses and save your receipts, you help 30 local charities who work to sustain our community. For a complete list, visit pointsforprofit.org. And remember, shop locally, serve locally, sustain locally with Points for Profit. This message is brought to you by the following Points for Profit sponsors. Please shop them and save your receipts.
Reif's Home Furniture on Fescue in Albany, Highway 34 near Corvallis, and Santiam Highway, Lebanon. Great variety at affordable prices.
Sugar Vibes Donut Company's mother and daughter duo, Janice and Janelle Jacola, invite you to delight in daily choices of classic, modern, flavor-infused, and gluten-free donuts from this newly remodeled scrumptious donut shop in downtown Lebanon.
Albany's Canna Kitchen will show you how to make capsules, tinctures, salves, suppositories, and more to help meet your needs at any strength. Call Albany's Canna Kitchen at 541-981-2620.
The Laura Gelat Home Team, Keller Williams Realty Midwell Allen, is Oregon's number one real estate team, serving Lebanon since 1992, now serving Salem and Eugene. Principal broker Laura Gelat and her home team have the experience and service you can rely on in your real estate transaction. Call Laura and her home team now. If you're a first-time buyer, seller, or an experienced real estate developer, Laura Gelat has agents available 7 days a week, including Sundays, with their no-pressure approach. Just honest advice and looking after your best interests. Log on to TeamGelat.com.
If you were witnessing a historic event, you might try to take a picture or grab a memento to remember it. Pictures weren't available when this occurred, so the spectators did the next best thing. They started taking hair from the horse's tail. What resulted is this edition of the American Countryside. A Farm in the Countryside podcast, we're talking about the stories, tips, and trends affecting agricultural and rural America. What can you expect in the markets? How do you evaluate new technology? What are the latest trends when it comes to successful crop and livestock operations? Those topics and many more are our weekly focus with guests from across the nation. Farm in the Countryside is brought to you by Pivot BioProven. Find the Farm in the Countryside podcast on the AgriTalk app or just use your favorite podcast platform. And you can follow our show on Facebook. Catch Farm in the Countryside for a weekly look at the stories affecting rural and agricultural America.
Picture yourself driving the tractor of your dreams, creeping up and down the rolling hills, enjoying an incredible sunset, and feeling satisfied that you were able to finally find your dream tractor at a reasonable price. Visit MachineryPete.com for the best selection of used tractors, skid steers, mowers, and more. We've revolutionized searching for equipment online. Find exactly what you're looking for quickly and easily. Your next piece of equipment is only a click away on MachineryPete.com. Visit MachineryPete.com now.
On Penn Street in the historic section of St. Joseph, Missouri, you can still find a building that was important in the story of those moving west.
This building was actually originally a stables, and the reason it was here is because if you'd go a few hundred feet to the west, you had a train station. People would get off the train and they could rent a buggy or a carriage or a single horse.
Dick Deshawn is speaking of what we today know as the Pony Express stables. At one time, the stables housed 150 horses for the needs of the traveling public. But on April 3, 1860, these stables were the place where the Pony Express began. It was a big deal that evening as people gathered to await the mail arriving by train that would then be handed off to a rider named Johnny Fry to begin the first leg of transporting the mail west towards Sacramento.
The people in the park started pulling the hair out of the horse's tail and the mane, and of course that upset the horse, so they brought the horse in here.
The onlookers simply wanted a piece of the horse as a souvenir of the event. Russell Majors and Waddell advertised for a specific type of rider to carry that cargo.
Orphans preferred. Naturally, they did want single men at least because they knew there was a possibility they could be shot or injured or something on the road.
The riders were paid $25 a week. Although the Pony Express lasted but 18 months, it is ingrained in the minds of many. In fact, groups often retrace the route, including people far from these stables.
We have Pony Express clubs all over the world, and they occasionally will come to the United States, and they're just fascinated with this museum.
You can still visit the stables and museum here today. You can see the video version of our story by following American Countryside on Facebook or watching U.S. Farm Report. Traveling the Countryside in St. Joseph, Missouri, I'm Andrew McCray.
Your first choice in local news, sports, and smart talk. This is News Talk 1580 K.